morning. I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. Yes, I was supposed to speak a few weeks ago. And how this message came about, last month I was listening to my brother Marvin Case when he preached, and he talked about those 2,000 young men that Helaman led. And a word was given to me at that time. And on page 517 in the Book of Mormon, the 95th verse, I'm going to start right there. Put my cheaters on. And as the remainder of our army were about to give way before the Lamanites, behold, those 2,060 were firm and undaunted. Yea, and they did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness. Yea, and even according to their faith it was done unto them. And I did remember the words which they said unto me, that their mothers had taught them. But that word was exactness. Perform every word of command with exactness. Have you ever thought about that? How exact our God is? According to their faith, it was done. Because they had done things exactly the way that the Lord wanted it done. You know, I've had many experiences and many things that have happened to me over the years. And I think about Abraham. And if we go to Genesis 17, first verse. And when Abram, and this was before that he had changed his name, or God had changed his name. And when Abram was 90 years and old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. You know, this was before he had made a covenant with him. And he was an old man. But he had told him to be perfect. It was the exactness that he was interested in. Now I'm going to let you think about this, because I'm not going to go where he makes that covenant. I want you to go to the 22nd chapter. First verse. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram, Ham. See, he's already changed his name. And said unto him, Abraham. He said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. You know, Abraham, he was a rich man. And a burnt offering was a ram. But it was the exactness that God had told him that he did. He could have taken a ram, but it wouldn't have meant anything. Over in the 12th here, verse. It said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He was willing to do it the exact way that God had told him to do it. You know, we like to make excuses for the things that we don't do. You know, I didn't belong to this church when I first came to this part of the country. But I'm going to share with you an experience that the Lord had enlightened me about. Because when I was baptized into that other church, and I want you to go to page 633 in the Book of Mormon. And I want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you here, the exactness of the gospel. Verse 25. When I was baptized into this other church, they said, and it says, now behold, these are the words which ye shall say, calling them by name, saying, having been commissioned of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's not exactly the way that it's written, is it? And when I went and I baptized some friends of mine who belonged to that same church, we got into this discussion. And did not Christ say, it is written? I said, well, let's go to chapter 5. Having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the exactness. Was it not valid? And I'd have to answer that. Maybe not. Because it wasn't done the way that God wanted it done. It is no different than the prayer on the wine. You go to an LDS church and it says, they say, water instead of wine. It's not exactly the same. Is it important? Of course it's important. Otherwise it wouldn't have been important for Abraham to take his son. You know, Satan is a master of deception, and he is. You know, in the second chapter of Genesis, where he talks to Adam and Eve, he only changed one word in the Garden of Eden. That little word was not. Thou shalt not die. You know, it was just a minute change. It wasn't exactly the way that God had wanted it done. Matthew 7. The 13th verse and the 14th verse. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. It's not that big wide path that we can go hand in hand. It's the exactness. It's a path that we all have to go down single file. And it's something that God said is the way that He wants it done. You know, I remember a story, and I don't usually like to use someone else's testimony, but it was when my brother Gerald Gerald Bryant was in a nursing home and he was dying, and we were sitting around talking about some of the things that had happened, and my sister Gracie had and I asked her if I could use this story about her mom, and it was she had bought some sheep, and they were old broken mouth sheep. And I hope I get the story right, but she had bought some old broken mouth sheep, and one of those lambs out of those old broken mouth sheep was a beautiful lamb. Beautiful lamb. And the other ones were okay, but this one he was better than the rest. And she had promised that she would give the best to the Lord. And as time went on, she thought, well, maybe I'd just, you know, give him two instead of that one. And she said that she went out one day and that beautiful lamb was dead. Because she had said that she was going to give it to him. And you can ask my sister about that, but when we make a deal, we better be ready to stick to it and do it the way that the Lord wanted it done. And it's as simple as that. When we take upon us the name of Christ, we can't do it lightly. We can't say, well, you know, He won't care if I just do it a little bit different. He does. You know, even down to our diets. If you think about it, in the first chapter of Daniel, and I'm not going to go there because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they said to the king, they said, look, we'll have pulse and water for 10 days so that we don't defile our bodies. So that we don't defile our bodies. I said, in 10 days, if we're not, you know, look better, then, you know, okay. It was the exactness that they wanted to keep themselves pure. It's a small thing, but it's important. You know, we all fall short. But we make excuses for ourselves. You know, if you want that relationship with Christ, it's the exactness of the gospel. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about that. How important it is for that truth of God. Page 172. Jacob, the second chapter. I'm going to start in 45. Behold, ye have done greater iniquity than the Lamanites have brethren. Ye have broken the hearts of your tender wives and lost the confidence of your children because of your bad examples before me. And the sobbing of their hearts ascended up unto God against you. And because of the strictness of the word of God, which cometh down against you, many hearts died pierced with deep wounds. But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind and pray unto him with exceeding faith, and he will console you in your afflictions, and he will plead your cause and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. O, all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing words of God and feast upon his love, for ye may, if your minds are firm forever. But woe, woe unto you that are not pure in heart, that are filthy this day before God, for except ye repent, the land is cursed for your sake. How true today are those words. Firmness. Exactness. You know, we think that it's okay, we'll just do it. You know, the rest of the world thinks it's okay. It's not. It's not. God is not a changeable God. And we feast upon these words more often than not. But it's the strictness, the pure in heart, the exactness of the gospel. Two hundred and fifty-eight. Now Alma, being grieved for the iniquity of his people, yea, for the wars and the bloodshed and the contentions which were among them, and having been to declare the word, or sent to declare the word among all the people in every city, and seeing that the hearts of the people began to wax hard, and that they began to be offended because of the strictness of the word, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. Therefore he caused that his sons should be gathered together, that he might give unto them every one his charge separately concerning the things pertaining unto righteousness. was the strictness of the word. And yet they had become hard-hearted. I'm going to go to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Eighth verse. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. This is our master. By the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obedience. Strictness, that exactness that he learned. You know, we start out as young children, and our parents, do we learn obedience from our parents? Hopefully. And then when we become a God, when we become adults, do we learn that obedience from our God? We should. We already should have that grounding. And you know, if it was important for our Lord and Savior, why wouldn't it be important for us? Page 161. Seventh verse. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, then, how much that he was holy, but notwithstanding, he being holy, he sheweth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping the commandments. It's pretty self-explanatory. He humbleth himself. You know, there again, you know, we hear of many people how they're baptized. And if we go to the next verse, wherefore after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Was the exactness of the gospel. I hope I'm making my point. Let's go... Mosiah, the first chapter, and it's page 215. Verse 87, I'm going to start down through 91. And I can read this whole chapter, but for time's sake, I don't think that's... I pray that ye should awake to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that you should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received unto heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. You know, and both temporally and spiritually. You know, we think about tithing, I never preach on tithing. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. You can say to God, well, you know, he doesn't need it. But if you don't support his work, why should he support yours? And it's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. It is the exactness of the law. And yet, if we say that, well, you know, it's only a small portion of the law. But you know, if you, and I'm going to go to James, the second chapter, because he said it better than I could. Tenth verse, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I want you to think about that. It is the exactness of the law. You know, look, we in Sunday school, we ask many questions. And I've heard many questions about, you know, the life hereafter. But you know, brothers and sisters, the one thing that you fail to understand is that why are we worried about some of those things when yet the things that we know we're supposed to do, we don't do. Do we want that relationship with Christ? Then we better start doing a better job. And by the way, that my wife said that. Page 223 in the Book of Mormon. Verse 350. And I'm going to end right here. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. O man, remember and perish not. And I want to thank you for your time. And I appreciate your prayers also. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Trevor. Number 135 will be our closing song. You know, I told you that we have an open line with God, and that's kind of what Trevor was talking about. If you want that complete relationship. But you know, no one answers the phone if you're one number off. 135.
Thank you.
have some closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we soon depart and go our various ways for a short time, I pray that you will bless each one, that as we go through the day, we will contemplate these words, that we will find ways to apply them to ourselves personally, that we become, or rather that we would begin that closer walk with thee. But ask also that you bless those that stand so greatly in need, those that mourn the passing of loved ones, that you give them comfort, that you be with each one of their children, wherever they might be and whatever their circumstances might consist of. And I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
I sincerely
believe.